announced that the emergency laws in Egypt would be extended until June 2012 and broadened to include new crimes. And these crimes include the publishing of false information, which basically means they can arrest journalists, something about aggression against freedom of work, which basically means arresting people who are on strike. So this has sparked an outcry in Egypt, and the fact that Egyptians will be going to the polls for in their post-revolutionary election for the first time under the same state of emergency that we've been under for the past three decades.
Talk about Sherif Abdelkaddous. Talk about journalists and bloggers. Talk about Michael Nabil.
Well, Michael Nabil is a 26-year-old blogger, an avowed pacifist and a longtime campaigner against military conscription in Egypt. On March 28th, he was arrested by military police after he had penned an article on his blog titled, "The Army and the People Are Not One Hand." The common chant in Tahrir during the revolution was, "The Army and People Are One Hand." And in it, he criticized the Supreme Council of Armed Forces for cases of torture and abuse, which had already been documented by human rights organizations like Amnesty International. And he said, you know, "We've gotten rid of the dictator, but not the dictatorship." He was tried in a military court. His lawyers were not present when the sentencing happened, believing that the trial had been adjourned or postponed. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison for publishing false information. And on August 23rd, he started a hunger strike to protest his imprisonment. He's still on this hunger strike, so he's entering what must be now day 44 of this hunger strike. His family says he's close to death. Today, actually, there was supposed to be an appeal in the trial. They adjourned the case until October 11th, until another week. And he has now vowed to—his brother says he will stop drinking water. His case is—this is an outrage that someone like this, for criticizing the military in post-revolutionary Egypt, sentenced in a military trial to 3 years, is being left to die. And it's becoming a rallying point for many activists across Egypt. And it really highlights the point of the military trials issue, which is really one of the key issues in this post-transitional period. Since February 11th, when Mubarak was out—I'm sorry, since January 28th, when the army took to the streets of Egypt, until today, there's been 12,000 Egyptians put on military trial. That's the rate of 70 a day, Amy. That is more military trials than the 30 years of Mubarak in power. Military trials deny people access to a free and fair trial. Many people are sentenced within a matter of hours or days to sentences of a few months to a few years. This issue was a fringe issue for in the beginning when activists first raised it. It now has become the leading issue in Egypt after these activists, really a grassroots group, documented all these cases and kept putting the pressure on. And the opposition to military trials was re-galvanized in August when one of the leading activists in Egypt, Asmaa Mahfouz, who's a co-founder of the April 6 youth movement, really a key group in Egypt, and also became more well-known for the videos that she posted online on YouTube the days before January 25th, saying and pledging to go down on January 25th. She was arrested and brought before a military prosecutor for a two-sentence tweet that she posted. This sparked outrage around Egypt, and it brought many of the presidential candidates for the first time to condemn military trials, and for the Muslim Brotherhood for the first time to condemn military trials. Despite all the—and her charges were dismissed. But many people who are not known, most of them poor, are still in prison and are facing years-long sentences, and the practice continues.
Hmm. What about the trial of Mubarak, meanwhile?
Well, Mubarak was put on trial on August 3rd, and it was really a very significant moment in Egyptian history, in Arab history. And we saw for the first time Mubarak appear on TV since his ouster, really. And many people did not believe that he would be put on trial until his face appeared on the screen behind bars. That was televised. But since then, there's been a complete, ordered by the judge in the trial, a complete media blackout on the trial. This was implemented when the former vice president and former head of the intelligence services, Omar Suleiman, was called to testify, and Tantawi was called to testify, the field marshal and de facto head of Egypt. And this media blackout is not just that the trial won't be televised. Journalists are not allowed into the courtroom. Journalists are not allowed to quote what lawyers say about the trial in the courtroom. So you have absolutely no idea what's going on. Tantawi testified.
And who has instituted these rules?
The judge. The
and
judge
who is
in the case.
Judge?
His name is Ahmed Rifat, and lawyers for the victims of families killed, victims of those killed in the revolution, have called for him to be replaced. And so the trial is has been adjourned, I believe, till the end of the month. But Tantawi testified, and apparently a leaked transcript of his Q&A was put on the internet, and in it, he doesn't answer decisively yes or no whether Mubarak can be held complicit in the killing of protesters. And people are very worried that Mubarak, his sons, will not pay for their crimes.
And Tantawi testified favorably, the head of the military council, who could be remain in place for years.
Well, he—I mean, let's remember, this is Mubarak's defense minister for 20 years and a very loyal person to Mubarak. He didn't really decisively say either way. He just kept saying, I don't know. And many people were disappointed, as he was privy to a lot of the meetings that Mubarak had with the interior minister and that involved the killing of protesters.
Well, Sharif, let's do part two just after this show, and we'll post it online at democracynow.org, and have a very safe trip back to Egypt.
Thank you.
Democracy Now! Correspondent Sharif Abdelkaddous, our former senior producer here. His videos and articles are available on his website at EgyptReports.net and, of course, at democracynow.org. His reporting made possible in part by the Pulitzer Committee. Democracy Now! Is hiring a part-time camera person to work Monday and Friday morning shifts. For more information, go to our website at democracynow.org. Happy birthday to Becca Staley. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nate Feltzer, Monte, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Ryan Devereaux, Dina Guster, Manal Khan, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira. Engineer special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. Annie Goodman, thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Bob Lundman with your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, October 3rd. Il Volo, that's Barone, Machetto, and Ginobili, will be at the Beacon Theater in Manhattan at 8 p.m. The Rock Yo Face Case Ska Show will be at the University Cafe at Stony Brook University at 8 p.m. We'll feature Lawn Chair Bombers, Across the Aisle, and Royal City Riot. Your concert billboard for Tuesday, October 4th. The B-52s will be at the Paramount in Huntington at 8 p.m. The James Carter Organ Trio will be at Burtland in Manhattan, 8:30 and 11 p.m. Bunny Merriam's Mandolin Experience will be at the Checkmate Inn in Nissatucket, 9:30 p.m. Your concert billboard for Wednesday, October 5th. Sovereign Strength, With Life in Mind and Delusions, will be at the Broadway Bar in Amityville at 7 p.m. George Thorogood and the Destroyers will be at the Klein Auditorium in Bridgeport, Connecticut at 8 p.m. The James Carter Organ Trio will continue at the Burtland in Manhattan, 8:30 and 11 p.m., and that goes on until Saturday. And, of course, the Yoko Ono Imagine Peace featuring John Yoko's Year of Peace will be on display at the Stalo Center for the Arts, University Art Gallery, 12 noon to 4 p.m. until the October the 15th. Your concert billboard for Thursday, October 6th. George Thorogood and the Destroyers will be at the NYCB Theater at Westbury at 8 p.m. And Yellow Ostrich and Grandchildren will be at the University Cafe at Stony Brook University at 8 p.m. as part of Stony Brooklyn.
That's today's concert billboard. Tune in to WUSB every day to hear who's playing where in the area. Or go to WUSB.fm and see the concert list with your own eyes to see now and for months to come. Or the most up-to-date info on the Facebook group at WUSB Concert Billboard. And where can you hear all this music? 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 8 minutes after 6 o'clock. Glory be. Time for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. Okay, apologies for all the long delays, the decrepit equipment, and the... I could just go on and on forever about all the things that are wrong here, but I'm not going to because that doesn't serve anybody. Doesn't make me feel any better either. But here we are, way late and frustrated. But it's Manuel here, Kyle over there.
What's up?
All kinds of things. Well, okay, let's focus on the positive. Let's focus on where people are actually doing things and getting things changed and done and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, huh?
It's pretty cool. We went down to Wall Street, actually a while ago, and then last week, and we saw lots and lots of people. More and more people every single day, it seems, are going down to Wall Street. And we noticed for quite some time, this was rather frustrating, that the media was just ignoring the story completely. You could not find anything about this on any mainstream news story.
Yeah, it was all like 4 days old.
At most, if there was anything. And when
like
they,
two stories.
When they did cover it, it was really kind of with snide remarks and just kind of ridiculing the whole thing. These people are down in Wall Street and they don't know what they're doing. They have no agenda, a bunch of hippies, things
Three
like that.
Three parts patchouli, body odor, and urine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was on Fox News. I don't know who that guy is.
Oh, boy. And I can't believe you remember it, too.
Yeah, no, I saw a soundbite of it. People were going through a montage. I think we were watching Russian TV.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now, Russia Today, I mean, they're not the most dependable news source. Let's put it that way. They do tend to jump into hysterical headlines sometimes, but they are interesting to watch if you can get them.
And they had interesting people on there, and they were going through a montage of the, quote, mainstream, while someone else was talking about the difficulties of getting the message out. And this is, you know, just a night or two ago, now that it is sort of in the mainstream and people are talking about it, and the montage was basically of protests and then any, like, the sparse coverage and the critical coverage, and it was, you got a kind of a sense of how it has been characterized.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. And, well, I've been talking about the mainstream. Most people don't get Russia Today. You can get it by going to RT.com and just watching the live stream and seeing the headlines. Actually, I'm going to go there right now because we do have the internet here that has not yet been broken. And let's see what's on the actual front page of Russia Today. American Dream. Get it. Okay, I'm not quite sure what that's all about. Hang on, it's still loading. We have a 300 baud connection here at the radio station, so it takes a little while to load things. There we go. We have a headline. And I'm sorry, it's got deleted. Hang on, let's go back. Occupy Wall Street is mass civil disobedience the only way. I'm trying to load the story here. Hang on. Hundreds of Occupy Wall Street demonstrators were arrested over the weekend in New York, but with the mainstream media ignoring or ridiculing the protesters and politicians turning a blind eye, what other options do they have to get attention to their outrage? Now, can you imagine that? Imagine that in a mainstream newspaper, those kind of words, or on CNN or something like that. This is how Russia Today chooses to characterize it, and it's not far from the truth. Taking the Big Apple by storm, getting arrested by the hundreds, getting netted and pepper sprayed in the face, spending night and day on the far from welcoming streets of New York's financial district. That's the price the demonstrators have been paying to get their outrage across to those holding reins of financial and political power. Common Americans that make up most of the country, who have no access to corporate power and the media, don't have many options to get their voices heard. Those who take steps to fight for change in the U.S. are getting ignored and marginalizing. I'm not sure if that's even grammatically correct, but the gist of it is, ignored for the first 2 weeks of occupying Wall Street, the peaceful movement started taking tougher measures by getting bigger and louder. And they certainly are getting bigger. They certainly are getting louder. And it's about time, you know. It's heartening to see as well.
Yeah, I think the scrutiny that we're going to start seeing from these international sources, it parallels the vigilance that we held for some of the uprisings in Europe and places like Tunisia and Egypt, North Africa. So I'm hoping that we get held to the same scrutiny and the rest of the world watches as this progresses and perhaps that support and coverage worldwide forces our own media to actually get involved and watch. And we're already seeing that with some of the unions who are on the fray, doing as much as they can as a union, but actually building a little bit of support just outside of the people that are physically camping out there. There's also been a bit of celebrity, I don't know. I think it's only going to progress. I think people are really digging in.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to. There's a whole other thing involving Twitter that's that I find fascinating. Can you not follow a what do they call that with a pound sign in front of it?
Hashtag.
Okay. I don't know what the Twitter term is, but can you not follow that unless you're signed into Twitter? I think you can't do that anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, they started locking everything down. Yeah. It used to be Twitter had a homepage.
Yeah.
And now it's like log in.
You could see what trending topics were. Now, that's the interesting thing is that if you follow pound Occupy Wall Street, just put that into the search bar. You got to apparently sign into Twitter to do this now. I could just create an account right now, I guess, but I'm not going to do that. But you could watch all the messages come in that have that in the Twitter message. And it was phenomenal. Multiple messages per second were pouring in, more than anything I've seen in a long time. Yet, Occupy Wall Street was not listed as a trending topic. Trending topic basically is something that is being talked about by lots and lots of people in lots and lots of places. Undoubtedly, that's what's happening here. Yet somehow, for some reason, all we're seeing are similar stories about Amanda Knox and Justin Bieber and
Happy October.
Happy October, because everyone is saying Happtober in their Twitter messages. Yeah, that's a trending topic. But Occupy Wall Street, which is something that is being talked about by so many people all over the world, no, that doesn't show up anywhere. I went through every single city and country that Twitter has trending topics for. Did not show up once. So something odd is going on. I've read explanations about how it's not necessarily the number of tweets. It's different people talking about it. I see no reason to believe that this particular subject does not fit that criteria, that lots of people are talking about this. It seems very similar to anything that's a big news story. This is a big news story with the people. It's not a big news story with the media. And Twitter apparently is part of that, and it's just not showing up no matter what. And people are talking about that too. People are asking questions. Why is this not showing up? Why is it being apparently blocked in this way?
But the thing of it is, to me, is they're using this excuse of like, okay, the algorithm or the way it's set up, trending and all, the way that works is the reason why it's not showing up as a trending topic. And you'd think, you know, if Twitter was the progressive and like, you know, out there for the people kind of institution that a lot of people, you know, tend to attribute it to being, you'd think they'd be able to like nudge that in as a trending topic because, you know, they know what's really going on. Instead, they're falling back on, oh, well, the computer says no, and so it's not trending and we can't do anything about it. It just seems silly. Everybody says, or a lot of people tend to think of Twitter in this good light, like, oh wow, it's really helping people communicate at protests or revolutions and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe. But they don't have a lot of interest in talking about these kinds of revolutions. And in particular, I think some of the things people have been citing with Twitter is that they just got financing from JPMorgan Chase, who is one of the finance institutions that people are critical of. And so part of their valuation as a public company was that they were estimated to be worth at like $4.5 billion. And part of that was resulted from actual investment of around $400 million, I think somehow by Chase. And so that interest and that support of investment valued it at a much higher level because it says something when a major institution backs you like that. And to that end, I think Twitter's sort of protecting the institutions that these people are criticizing, much in the same way that the New York Police Department has been criticized, because she also recently made a huge donation to the New York Police Department's foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's really interesting to watch these, you know, coincidence or parallels.
And this is getting out by the people's media, not by the corporate media. They're not reporting it.
I think it's not any one institution. It's not Twitter that's making a difference. It's not a live stream or an independent media institution or a magazine that comes up with these ideas. I think it's the internet and it's the information age that's really shining here as a whole. I think that's what's really making a difference. And the people behind it, the people sort of putting their foot down and saying, it's not about us having organization or us having an agenda or anything like that. It's the fact that we're here, we're holding our ground, we have grievances, and we can sort out all the details. We can do that later. But right now, we're going to occupy this area, this part of the world that represents so much about like greed and wealth and disparities and dichotomies between rich and poor and all of that. It's the fact that we can occupy this, regardless of the fact that it's a private park or anything like that. We're going to be right here in your face, and we're going to take it, take issue and take it to the next step as far as taking control of the direction that our economy and our country is going.
Now, I was able to find out through the internet that, yes, you can search Twitter without an account. You just have to find their search page, which I'm not sure if this is the actual URL, but it's twitter.com/pound!/search-home. I'm sure there's an easier one to get to, but I typed in pound Occupy Wall Street now, and now I'm going to be seeing live results, hopefully, if this Mac can handle that. Yes, and the first tweet I see is, zero bankers were arrested after purposely crashing our economy. Nearly 1,000 have been arrested for speaking up about it. And those are the kinds of things you'll see. People are texting these messages from their phones or for their computers, things like that. There's a lot of critical things in here, too. Some of it is intelligent. Some of it is just kind of stupid. I'm going to try to find some of the more... Oh, 20 new tweets have just come in. Let's look at the 20 new tweets. Links to images, mix of curious, homeless, concerned, fed up, and people wanting action to be found on Wall Street, an invitation to share stories on a particular website. Let's see. Here's a critique here. The Occupy Wall Street demand a living wage whether you work or not. Laughing out loud, silly liberals. Well, of course, that's not one of the things that I've heard them say. Here's 20 more tweets that just came in. Look forward to marching tomorrow. Hey, Occupy Wall Street, if you all want to be happy and prosperous like the Chinese, there are lots of jobs in China teaching English. Yeah, okay, that's another helpful suggestion there. All kinds of things.
I think about the first one you said is there's a way more of the or not going on, and that's not by choice. There's just no jobs. I mean, people are really having trouble working, and the people that are working aren't making the same amount of money. They're scared to death that their job's going to disappear. I mean, intelligent, sure. But, you know, in 120 characters, I don't think you can really make a good case either way. But it's good to hear the anecdotes.
Here's another one. Tea Partiers don't get arrested because they aren't thugs like the Occupy Wall Street people are. Yeah, well, you've been there a couple of times. I didn't see any thugs there. I saw some cops. That's the closest thing I saw to thugs. An interesting tweet here. I think if Occupy Wall Street has done anything, it's gotten people talking about what they can do to make a difference. And that is definitely true. A lot of people are out there critiquing the Occupy Wall Street people because they don't have a focused set of demands. And that's the biggest criticism I see. But actually, you know, I think that's the biggest attribute that they have right now. They don't have a specific list of demands as to what it is they want. They just know that things aren't right the way they are now. Well, isn't that the best time to get in on something like this? If you agree with that, join them, help them focus and point at something that might actually make a difference. If they already have the demands, well, you're kind of left out of the process, aren't you? This way you can become a part of the process. Now, if you think everything is fine and peachy, okay, it's not for you. And I'm not quite sure what world you're living in. But if you believe that things are a bit messed up right now, it seems like you have a place where you can vocalize those particular concerns and be listened to by people, and hopefully it'll grow day by day. That's interesting, too, the way they do it, the way they actually go about getting their word out. They're prohibited from doing so many things by the authorities. You're not allowed to have any kind of amplification. So you can't have a megaphone, you can't have a PA system, you can't have any of that. So what they do, and this is very ingenious, it's kind of funny to watch, yes, there are lots of things we can laugh at, it is rather ingenious. When someone wants to say something in what they call the General Assembly, they basically stand up and start talking. But what happens is they obviously they can't be heard. They can't be heard by the people in the park. It's a full square block area, so they can't actually be heard. So what happens is the people surrounding them repeat what they're saying line by line. So if you say a particular sentence, then all of a sudden 50 people say you say a particular sentence. It sounds really bizarre when you listen to it. It sounds funny.
It's distributed amplification.
Distributed amplification. And that way, lots and lots of people can hear. There's no PA system except for human vocal cords. And they're getting around it using that particular tactic. I'm not sure if that's been used before. This is the first time I've actually seen it in use.
Yeah, me either. I'd never, ever seen that. Other things they're doing is tents were verboten. For whatever reason, and they're using a lot of other forms of sheltering.
And for some reason, canvas in general, because it could be seen as a tent, which means that any particular audiovisual equipment, meaning cameras and things like that, that has to be covered from the rain, no, the cops take it away and the equipment gets destroyed by the rain because they're not allowed to have canvas. Ridiculous things like this. They're falling back on this ancient mask law that says that you can't have more than two people wearing a mask, unless it's a masquerade party.
Mm.
And people have been arrested for wearing a mask on their head backwards. In other words, facing the back. People have been taken off the street as a result of that.
Mm.
It's a ridiculous law, but it's being used. And the cops are doing all kinds of other nonsensical things as well. Well, obviously, this occupation of Wall Street, it's not really Wall Street. It's Zuccotti Park, which used to be known as Liberty Plaza, a block or two up. Wall Street is an east-west street that starts at Broadway and goes all the way to the East River. And that whole area has been closed by the police. You can't walk down there. You can't walk down there even if you're a tourist.
That's an accomplishment.
Now, that to me tells me that they have shut down Wall Street. The demonstrators have shut down Wall Street, not directly, but through the fear of the authorities. Nobody can walk on Wall Street now. I guess you have, if you work on Wall Street, you can walk on Wall Street. So that's one way to get onto the street. But yeah, Wall Street has been shut down. So that is definitely something. Let's see what tweets have come in since we started talking. 158 new tweets. Yeah, this is not a popular topic, is it?
No.
158 tweets. Let's see. Remember when we made stuff in America, not just shuffle papers and fiat currency around? Yeah. Let's see. He who accepts evil without protest against it is really cooperating with it. That's a quote from Martin Luther King. If Wall Street is the bull, then Occupy Wall Street is its matador. Kind of interesting. When is Occupy Wall Street going to call out the racism in their ranks? Okay, that's interesting. I wonder what that's all about. Over 300,000 people have said they will attend Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Canada. This isn't a protest. It could be the start of a movement. Yeah. All kinds of things.
Yeah, I believe they're going to have a Occupy Toronto in the next couple weeks.
Where's Occupy Stony Brook? I see all kinds of cities listed, but I don't see Stony Brook. I mean, because we have a big university here, there should be something. What would you occupy? Where would you?
I think they're waiting until after midterms, or
no? The semester just began. You know, screw midterms. I'm sorry. Certain things, they don't matter.
It's just really hard recovering your GPA after so long. It's better to start high.
I don't even care. No, listen, you want to make a statement, you got to go right to the source. I guess administration building. You know, back in the day, students would take over the administration building like almost on a weekly basis. No matter what, if there was anything they didn't like, they would march on the administration building. Now, I don't know if students care anymore, and I'm pretty sure our signal doesn't reach the university anymore. But if it did, and if people were listening, I would like to know if they feel motivated to actually stand up and do something and maybe surround the building or maybe just sit inside the building or something like that, like they used to in the old days.
Speaking of something like that, taking over a building, I saw some protesters, some healthcare workers in Spain,
uh-huh.
And it was awesome. It was just in sort of the shuffle of news about protests and things going on, and they were upset they're upset over, you know, austerity measures, and they're basically saying, like, you know, we have to continue to work. We can't just, you know, sit out. We have to accept whatever comes down as healthcare workers and continue to work in the hospital and stuff like that. We're not going to continue to take pay cuts. They walked into a healthcare meeting. They started walking on the boardroom desk, throwing papers up in the air.
Yeah, that was something.
It was really, really awesome. This was taking place in Spain, and I believe they were healthcare workers. And I was like, wow, you know, beating on the doors with their hands. That stuff, you don't see that enough. But I think we're getting a little closer to that, to where people are going to start storming some buildings in a peaceful way.
Well,
but it's not.
It would be nice. It would be nice. But you see, the thing is, overseas, when that happens, it's treated as expression, not as a terrorist act. In this country, they'd be maced by the cops. They'd be put in prison. All kinds of horrible things would happen to them.
Absolutely.
And we're supposed to be a free and open society. We have crap like that going on when people just express themselves.
Yeah.
It ain't right. No.
But I think this
I've been reading about the people who have been arrested on Wall Street. Someone was arrested for going inside a building that was owned by Bank of America. Going inside a building now can get you arrested. It didn't say anything about breaking into a building, just walking inside a building. Things like that. Walking down a street, protesting. Protesting is something that is allowed, encouraged, but now it's considered to be a crime.
Yeah, I don't want to incite that necessarily, but I think it's an opportunity.
I want to incite protest. I want to incite all kinds of freedom of expression.
You know, running around on boardroom tables, and maybe not quite yet, but I think it's an opportunity to gain some respect.
I'll stand up on this console right now to make my point. I mean, people standing on desks have been the pinnacle of change in this country.
There is some equipment in here. I think that we have some grievances.
You want me to stand on the equipment? Because I'll do that too. It looks like somebody already did that. So maybe that's the problem.
But no, I mean, I think it's an opportunity to communicate that this is a powerful medium, and it is it's credible. This is how we do things in America, and I think people are really they're remembering that. They're getting a sense of like what good protest is, and keeping things peaceful and doing things in creative ways. So they were dressing up like zombies down there, I guess, the other day. You know, we need people to take it seriously. Like, I don't want to use the word tolerated so much, but it's accepted as a form of communication about what's going on in other countries. And as you said, like with, you know, just walking into a Bank of America, you know, countless people do that every day.
Yeah.
But because you're wearing, you know, a shirt or you're around another action, all of a sudden Bank of America is off limits. And if you even set foot in there, you're trespassing.
Yeah, because you don't belong there. Now, can you think of a place that you've gone into that you didn't belong in when you went in there at the time? I mean, I'll admit. I've gone into offices after hours. I've actually figured out the simplex code and gotten in and just taken pictures because it was fun. It was a challenge. It was a thing to do. I've gotten into the tunnel system at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, right here. Explored, walked around. Gone into buildings after they were closed, walked onto private property when the sign says no trespassing. All kinds of things like that. Didn't cause any harm, didn't do any damage. But wanted to explore. And these days, if you do something like that, you're seen as tantamount to a criminal, a terrorist, somebody. It's more what if, what could you have done rather than what it is that you actually did. And I think that is being passed on to younger people as they grow up so that they don't even think of transgressing the rules in any way because of how it might be perceived. And it's very, very unhealthy to live like that.
They don't have the curiosity because it's... Well,
curiosity is bad.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, doors closed, that means it's there's a reason behind that. It's not even about wondering what's behind it or how this building works or what actually is going on or why these people... What privilege, what responsibilities do they carry that makes them so much more important?
Mm-hmm.
And why must this be completely covered and obscured from someone like me? How come I can't handle that?
Never broken into somebody's house. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, as a kid, a teenager, whatever, I would not violate someone's personal privacy like that or scare them like that. But walking around office buildings, universities, golf courses, you name it, things that are supposedly off limits, private beaches, things like that. Who hasn't snuck onto a private beach in the middle of the night? These are healthy things, and if you treat them with respect and don't destroy property and cause mayhem or scare people, there's really nothing wrong with it in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's too bad that, you know, people use liability and safety.
Absolutely. We have 239 new tweets on Pound Occupy Wall Street, the non-trending topic on Twitter. Let's see. Protester video didn't make TV. I think this might be what we saw yesterday, a guy being interviewed by Fox News, who completely called out the Fox News reporter on so many issues and said it so well. And there was video. Bless YouTube for this. Someone took video of this and posted it on YouTube, and it's spreading all over the place, of the Fox News guy interviewing him. And the guy made such good points, very on topic, very clearly articulated. Of course, Fox News did not air that, but more people, I think, have seen it now as a result of individual people spreading it around. So that's the power of people's media.
Well, it's cool to be able to call it out just right there. You know, let the interviewers have it, and watch them sort of tremble, a little backpedal a little bit. They think they have the upper hand. They think they know. They think they can get a soundbite here or there, and sort of discredit the organization. And that guy really took him to task. You know, laid it out as best he could in the moment. It's very hard to be crisp and on point when you're sort of nervous, or you're in front of somebody who there's a little bit of antagonization there, you know, because you are very passionate, you feel a certain way about it. But I think he articulated himself pretty well in the moment.
Well, there are a lot of people that do that. A lot of people that you don't know who they are. They're just common people like us that can articulate extremely well if given the chance. And I think this is an opportunity for people like that to shine, to come forward and speak their piece and be heard and listened to by people throughout the world, if the world is listening. I think the world is. We want to listen to our listeners. Yes, we do. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. We'll go into delay if we start seeing the phones light up. There's all kinds of new tweets coming across on this particular hashtag of Pound Occupy Wall Street, calls to sign a petition, a quote here, barricades closed the street but opened the way, all kinds of things. It's fascinating to watch this. Here's somebody saying, keep it up, keep it up. It feels like the beginning of a movement, like the flip side of the Tea Party. Now, that's an interesting phrase right there, because there has been a comparison to the Tea Party in many ways. And I've said this often about the Tea Party, that while I don't agree with pretty much anything they say, they do know how to get it organized. They do know how to get their word out. They do know how to get taken seriously, something the left has never really gotten right because they spend so much time fighting each other. And I think this might be an opportunity for people to not fight each other, to simply listen, gather, and have a variety of messages. Not everybody in that park is saying the same thing. And I know the media is jumping on that like that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. That shows how a diversity of people can agree on the fact that Wall Street is not serving us right now and needs to be changed big time. So that's what I think is the potential of this movement. Now, as far as the Tea Party, this comes from, of all places, Bloomberg. The coalition of thousands of anti-Wall Street protesters in New York and cities across the U.S., that's right, it's growing around the U.S. too, has the potential to grow into the Tea Party of the left. That's according to Braden King, who's written on social and political movements at Northwestern University. They have to figure out what it is they are about in order to become the force of change in the Democratic Party, like the Tea Party has been in the Republican Party, said King, an assistant professor of management at the Kellogg School of Management from Evanston, Illinois. Without that, it will be hard for politicians to figure out how to position themselves without just saying that we're mad, too. The demonstrations that began September 17th in Lower Manhattan as Occupy Wall Street have spread with help from social media to cities including Boston, Chicago, Denver, Seattle. Signs and slogans have voiced opposition to everything from bank foreclosures and corporate influence in politics to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and insufficient job prospects. The conditions are ripe for those concerns to become part of mainstream political dialogue if the protesters can transform their list of grievances into targeted talking points and policy prescriptions. They've gotten the public's attention and are well mobilized. From the activist point of view, he says, they don't want to waste this moment. Now, the Tea Party, a loosely organized group that aims to shrink the size of government and cut federal spending, began mobilizing amid President Barack Obama's drive to overhaul U.S. health care laws. 60 U.S. representatives out of 435 now identify themselves as party members. Now, in Chicago, Jeff Adler, a 54-year-old preacher, called for increased banking regulation and bemoaned public bailouts as he joined the 200 or so protesters outside the Chicago Board of Trade. The movement will keep going till we wake people up and accomplish things, he said. We're counting on the Democratic Party to grow a spine, and that's a pretty tall order. And that's certainly true. The Democratic Party has to do that. It has not happened in quite a while. But sure, it would be interesting if this became the flip side to the Tea Party. I don't know. You think that's possible?
I think anything is possible. You just have to continue to listen to people and continue to watch it, and you know, acknowledge people that are helping, and point out people that are you know. That are hurting this and hurting other Americans.
Well, let me point out somebody right here then. Mitt Romney. Yeah, Mitt Romney has to say about the protesters. As anti-Wall Street protests have begun to move from Wall Street to main streets in other cities, the issue has also started to bubble up in the presidential campaign. Greeting an overflow room of voters today at a community center in a retirement community in Florida, Mitt Romney was asked about the protest and said that he had spoken to the people involved. I think it's dangerous. This class warfare, referring to the protesters. I find it amazing how the rich people in this country, and I include him on that list, can say that when people protest against the 1% that have all the wealth, and I think maybe it's even less than that have so much of the wealth, then it becomes class warfare. But when it's that same percentage taking from the poor or the other 99%, then it's simply economic reality. It's not class warfare at all. It's very interesting how these words are bandied about. Romney's remarks come as the protests have grown in intensity and size, with demonstrations spreading to all kinds of other cities. Later this week, the White House may become a target, with two groups planning to set up an encampment near there. While the protests have generally been nonviolent, the New York City police on Saturday arrested 700 people after some demonstrators marched on the roadway of the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, that's interesting, too, because that leads itself to a story in the New York Times, which appeared on their website.
Yes.
We're not talking about the printed edition. We're talking about the website.
New media.
Yeah. Now, here's how it read at, what time was this? I think 5:59 p.m.? Or maybe after 6. Basically, the story read, after allowing them onto the bridge, the police cut off and arrested dozens of Occupy Wall Street demonstrators. Yeah, then that story was changed about an hour later to read like this. In a tense showdown over East River, police arrested hundreds of Occupy Wall Street demonstrators after they marched onto the bridge's Brooklyn-bound roadway. Now, you notice the difference there. They've removed the part that says the police allowed them onto the bridge in the first place, and the implication that they were trapped by the police. And we've seen the police do this. I was a victim of this myself. The police lead you onto a roadway, then close it off and arrest you. That happens all the time. It's a common tactic. Now, it's really interesting, and so far there's been no word as to why this happened. But when you have a website newspaper, you can simply change the words, and that's the way it is. They're, unless somebody's paying attention, as they were in this particular case, there's no record of it. Now, an actual physical newspaper, and this is the advantage of a physical newspaper, once it's printed, it's printed. It's out there. It's part of the record. Well, the record can always be changed electronically, so you don't ever have to stand by your words unless somebody has the proof and can call you on it. So I think that's fascinating to watch how the media is changing its story.
Oh, but it was just a simple correction.
Yeah, correct. A complete
newspapers
change.
Make corrections,
you know,
all the time.
You know what,
it's
Kyle? When
correction.
When they make corrections, they usually notate the correction and say, "Well, we changed the story to indicate this."
But it's in the best interest of timeliness. You got to correct things sooner these days. You know, it's just a correction.
Just wonder what kind of conversation took place before they did that. Who called them and said, "You better change that now if you want our funding in the future." Okay, let's go to the phones. We're going to go into delay. Hopefully, that's working properly today. And again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Let's have a little ID, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Taj Mahal, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And here we are. We're right back. Well, back after that nice little ID. As we were saying, the phone number is 631-632-9872. What we'd like to hear from our listeners today is what they think of the Occupy Wall Street movement, if there's any questions, concerns they might have concerning what they're up to, something they'd like to see covered, how the media has been treating the story, anything else, right?
Yeah. Suggestions?
suggestions of all sorts.
What kinds of supplies maybe people need?
If you've been down there, if you want to go down there, if you'd like to send something to the people, we can tell you how to do that. In fact, we're considering, tell us if this is a good idea, we're considering having a little shuttle going from here to the city with supplies. People can donate food or clothing or whatever. And we have a van. We can just take it in and come back out, get more stuff.
And I think the ideas from people that aren't, you know, in it, that aren't camping out there, I think those people can have the perspective to know what they need and then, you know, come together with a list of things to really help. Having that, you know, yeah, maybe you're at home in the comfort of your home, but you can have the perspective to come up with some great ideas.
Okay, let's take a phone call. Oh, dear, we waited too long on that. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Off the Wall, and good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
Hello, Bobson. How are you?
Hi, Bobson.
Now, will you be going to the demonstration? I guess you probably won't be, being in Bulgaria.
Well, there are some things going on out here, but they're kind of murky pre-election crap that's not quite...
Uh-huh.
about the things going on in New York and the websites with news that are... this now and changed later. I remember a book I read once which had, you know, undesirable future situation where people spend their time, part of their job was to look at old newspapers and fix them so they're in accordance with the recent party lines and all that. Remember that book?
Yes, I think I do.
The 1984 novel?
Yes. Well, actually, it came out in 1948, but yes.
49, I think.
49, was it? But it was called 1984, so yes.
It still is called, but...
It is still called that. That's true.
They had the people looking at all, digging through old newspapers and fixing them according to whoever was in charge.
It's the same exact thing that what the New York Times did. They basically threw it into the memory hole, burned the existing copies, and made it like this was always the way it was reported. It was never anything else.
That's the sad part about the lack of dead tree newspapers these days.
Yeah, and that's I think that should point out why it's important to actually have something in your hand that cannot be changed.
Yes, that's true. All right. Also, did you... happened to see, I saw earlier today a photograph, aerial photograph of many people in New York protesting that turned out to be a fake.
No, I'm not aware of that. Who made a fake photograph?
I don't know who made the fake, but if it turns out to be something more than somebody pretending to have found a fake having done them themselves.
We'll certainly look into that. That's because when things are doctored, it's always for a reason, and we want to get to the bottom of that. Oh. Listen, Boston, we want to move on because we have some other callers, and we only have a couple of minutes.
Have a great evening, and thanks for the great show.
All right, thanks for listening. Take care. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hi, Emmanuel.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, it's Rose. I've called you before regarding Bradley Manning when I came back.
Yes, that's right. You went to visit, to actually, you know...
Kansas, Virginia.
It's interesting. Have you ever looked at Bradley Manning's Wikipedia page?
Yes.
There's something weird going on there.
Yeah. You know, I spoke to, I think his name is Jack, who has that WikiLeaks truck that shows up everywhere.
Oh, yeah, the WikiLeaks truck. That was in New York.
Yeah. Well, he's in New York now, yeah. And he said that they keep changing the trial, you know, date, and it was supposed to be in the summer. Now it's October, and, you know, but anyway, I'm really calling about Wall Street.
Yes,
right,
Wall
now.
Street.
I've been there quite a few times. I even stayed overnight this past weekend, went over the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, the whole thing.
Now, what's it like staying there overnight? You can't have a tent, right?
Intense. It's, you know, I'm 53 years old, but these kids are incredible. It was raining. It was, you know, anything where you would not want to sleep on the ground, and, you know, but they have a comfort station. They have a kitchen. They have a media station. They have an information station. They have everything you would need. I've never been around so many people and young people that get along so well. I didn't hear one argument, nothing.
Uh-huh.
They just, and what you were talking about, they call it the mic check, you know, when they mic check and then somebody says something and somebody says something else.
Yes.
And, not something else, they repeat it,
you know,
along the way so everybody in the back can hear.
Mm-hmm.
When I got up in the morning on Sunday, early in the morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning, just walking around, one guy comes out of the crowd and says, "Mic check," you know, so everybody shouts, "Mic check," and he says, "I love you," and everybody yells out, "I love you," and he says, "Okay, that's it," and he walks back into the crowd. I mean,
these are things that in the mainstream are different, might seem weird, might seem funny, and sure, like I said, we can laugh at this. I mean, there are all kinds of things I can point at that I can laugh at. For instance, some people in the crowd, they don't applaud, they simply wave their fingers.
It's a new generation. It's
sparkles. Sparkle. Yeah, it's really kind of weird and bizarre, but it's one form of expression. It's not the only form of expression. It's good to open yourself up to alternatives. The important thing is everybody is there sharing discontent for the way the system is going, and if you feel that, then you're with them on that level.
Oh, I feel it, and you know what? Mainstream media, I mean, I'm glad they're putting it out there every day. I see the news every day, but they're saying, and I think you mentioned too, that they don't really have their goals in sight, what they want, what they're demanding. I think it's very clear. If you go there, I mean, it's a long list because there's a lot wrong, but they're very clear, you know, what they want. They want, you know, the people, the 99%, they keep saying, the 99% to get their share, that the greed is, you know, the 1%.
It's a complicated issue. It's going to take time to even work out how to begin to address this, but it's important to express the discontent and start with that. Let me ask you one last question, because we got to run.
Sure.
What is it that people need down there? What is it we can bring them?
Right now, they don't need food. They have a ton of food. They're even giving it some to the shelter. They need socks. They need warm stuff, because it's getting cold. It's wet. Socks, coats, blankets, even towels, things to wear.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we're going to try and work something out, and maybe bring a van load of stuff. And people are interested in being a part of that. Email us, otw@2600.com, because we're trying to organize that as well. Listen, Rose, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for being involved.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Well, that's going to just about do it for us this week. Thanks for the phone calls. And please write to us, otw@2600.com. We want to hear from you. We want to hear different opinions and perspectives. Look at that. Over 500 new tweets since we last checked. That's incredible. And, wow, I have some hope, Carl. Some hope that things might actually change, that money isn't going to be the only driving issue in people's lives in the future. Maybe more important things. Maybe we'll actually look at taking care of each other and keeping things in perspective.
Yeah, perhaps once people have any kind of income to work with and they can actually live their lives and start, you know, fixing some things.
Yeah, would be nice. All right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. otw@2600.com. It's Matt and Kyle. Have a good night.
See you on Wall Street.
If you reach back in your memory, the little bell might ring about a time that once existed, when money wasn't king. If you stretch your imagination, I'll tell you all a tale about a time when everything wasn't up for sale. And there was this cat named Johnny who loved to play and sing when money wasn't. Get so excited when John would give a show. We'd raise the cash between us and down the road we'd go to hear him play that music. It spoke right to my soul. Every verse a diamond and every chorus gold. The sound was my salvation. It was only everything before money became king. Well, I ain't sure how it happened, and I don't know exactly. time to see rehearsal. And John came out and lip-synced his new light beer commercial. And as the crowd arrived, as far as I could see, the faces were all different. There was no one there like me. They sat in golden circles, and waiters served them wine, and talked through all the music, and to John paid little mind. Screen. They'd hung between the billboards, so cheaper seats could see. Johnny rocked that golden circle and all those VIPs, and that music that had freed us became a tired routine. And I saw his face in close up, try to give it all. Sometimes his eyes betrayed him. You could see that he was sad. And I tried to rock on with him, but I slowly became bored. Could that man on stage with everything somehow need some more? There was no use in pretending, no magic left to hear. All the music gave me was a craving for light beer. As I walked out of the arena, my ears began to ring, and money became king.
Kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until 9 p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook. Tonight we're going to be talking to some folks from the Occupy Wall Street action taking place down there in Liberty Plaza, so stay tuned, plus some great revolutionary tunes, of course.
fall down. I need a helping hand. And when I lose my head, it's 'cause it's buried in the sand. When I get stuck on myself, feeling sorry for myself, will you help me grab a hold and please don't patronize my soul? When I start to lose control, when I get irrational, when I start to get too high, you see me come floating by. I say, touch me in the morning sun, when I feel impossible, show me what is possible, teach me love invincible. Touch me in the morning sun, when I feel impossible, show me what is possible, teach me love invincible. Yeah, love invincible. When you're down, you need a helping hand. When you lose your head, I help you wash with the sand. When you get stuck on yourself, feeling sorry for yourself, I will help you grab a hold and I won't patronize your soul. When you start to lose control, when you get irrational, when you start to get too high, I see you come floating by. I say, touch me in the morning sun, when I feel impossible, show me what is possible, teach me love invincible. Touch me in the morning sun, when I feel impossible, show me what is possible, teach me love invincible. Come on now, 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 show me that you feel me, show me that you feel it. When we're down, we need a helping hand. When we lose our heads, it's 'cause they're always buried in the sand. When we get stuck on ourselves, feeling sorry for ourselves, will you help us grab a hold and please don't patronize our souls? When we start to lose control, when we get irrational, when we start to get too high, you see us come floating by. I say, touch us with the morning sun, when we feel impossible, show us what is possible, teach us love invincible. Touch us with the morning sun, when we feel impossible, show us what is possible, teach us love invincible. Touch us with the morning sun, when we feel impossible, show us what is possible, teach us love invincible. Touch us with the morning sun, with the morning sun, in the morning, come on now. Love invincible, yeah. Love invincible, yeah. Love is invincible.